Hello, hello, hello. Guess who's back? You got them right. It's Amberland, y'all. We here. It's been 2 months. Didn't anticipate that to happen, but we back, baby. And we just had Mother's Day. Shout out to the dope moms out there. And shout out to the women who kept their children, because it looks like it ain't going to be that much of a choice soon. They out here, well, it's a leaked document, allegedly, with the Supreme Court possibly overturning Roe v. Wade. Forced pregnancies, death penalty, possibility if you have an abortion, like draconian as fuck. Forcing pregnancies, and instead of abortion, you just keep the baby to term and then give it up for adoption. It's all weird. But anyways, that wasn't really the point. Happy Mother's Day. I hope it was great. How a lot of people treat Mother's Day, I feel about Father's Day. My dad was he sometimes was the dual role, but my mom had full custody, so it is what it is. But yeah, shout out to you, Mom. Mother's Day is a hard day for me, I'm not gonna lie. I don't have a pretty, my relationship with my mom is not that great. So yeah, for as long as I have been at least a teenager, I've always felt kind of like I have a lot of my friends are moms, and they're great moms at that. So, you know, I'm very grateful that I'm not bitter or that I have mommy issues. Very grateful about that. But I just wish people would allow people to be honest when they say their mama is rough and ain't shit and kind of a dick. You know what I'm saying? So, I was thinking of mom songs, because there was some accounts, there were Instagram accounts that were playing some really solid songs. So I was like, oh man, I like this. This could be a really good soundtrack, like Junior's "And Mama Used to Say, Take Your Time, Young Man." That's one of my favorites. And then "I'll Always Love My Mama." I think that's the Dramatics. And then "Mama," of course, by Boyz II Men. "Dear Mama" by Tupac, of course. That song was played so much in 95. I'll never forget it. They played that video. Video Soul was always number one. So, and he was in jail during the time, so it was extra sentimental. So RIP to both Shakurs. Bohemian Rhapsody, low-key, is a mama song. He's singing that song to his mom. That's literally the first word in the lyrics, mama. So Bohemian Rhapsody's up there. Yeah, I think I don't know many. I don't know of I'm sure there's some more. But yeah, shout out to that. So hard off the presses. Try not to make this incredibly topical, this episode, but Young Thug and Gunna and a lot of his YSL squad, that's 50 cents, 56 counts against them niggas. RICO charges. Them niggas got hit with the mafia charges.
They saying that YSL is a street gang that's been operating since 2012.
So I guess they just been watching them for literally a decade. Cause they did a raid. So
somebody in the YSL crew is a snitch. They are plant. So yeah, that's rough. Yeah. Well, good luck to them on that shit. That's a racketeering charges, yo. Rico. Good luck, my guys. So, speaking of good luck, I say back to comedy like I live. If you take a month off of comedy, that's like the equivalent of 5 years. No, I'm just kidding. My last show was April 8th, and it just, the show, I had no issue with the show itself or the comics on there or the booker. Everything, that's why we went out there. It was the fact that it was in, well, I didn't even have a problem that it was in Sugar Hill. It was the fact that it was cold outside, and I'm sure when homegirl booked it, she didn't think that, because it was April, she didn't think that it was going to be as cold as it was. It was fucking 43 degrees. Like, they had heaters out there, and they worked, but if it was like a typical April, where it could have been like 70 degrees, and then it dropped to like 60, maybe 55, then you can turn the heaters on to like make it comfortable, but it was uncomfortable as fuck, even with the heaters. I did not enjoy myself because it's a brewery, so it's a nice, they had like a nice little garden. Again, it's nice, you know, I would definitely love to go back again to perform there when there's more warmth and more black people. I am really tired of doing these shows because, you know, I do black rooms, and of course, you know, it's us, but there are times where there's white people involved, you know, but when I do a show like Sugar Hill, this place literally had zero black people in the audience, and I'm just getting tired of doing this. Like, I started this little joke last year, literally around this time, where it was like a little aside where it's like, dang man, this white as fuck in this crowd, y'all don't hang out with your black friends on the weekends type shit. Like, I say that, and now it's like becoming part of my bit now, because, you know, when I'm booked on mainstream or alternative rooms, I'm like, y'all, I mean, it's not their fault, because the booker's doing their part, because the lineups are diverse as fuck. Like, again, like homegirl who booked this Sugar Hill show, it was mad black people on the goddamn lineup. It was more black people on the lineup than white comics on the show. Like, they were completely outnumbered, including herself. So, you know, it's not the booker's fault that the audience is white as fuck. You know, like, sometimes that just happens. You know, when you market to everybody, especially when the booker themselves have a diverse set of friends personally, you know. So it is what it is on that. Hell, my black ass, when I was doing Girls Night Out, I didn't have that many black people in the audience starting out. So it definitely branched out, of course. But, and sometimes, you know, when you reach a point where you're like, hey, how can I diversify my audience? I mean, a lot of the times it's having a diverse lineup. But again, that don't always work, because that happened, you know, in two instances where the lineups were diverse as shit, but the comics... Oh, well, the lineups were diverse as shit, but I will say that both of those comedy shows didn't have our photos on the flyers. They had our names, yes, but they didn't have our photos, so... That might help too, because I definitely, when I, I did an all-female comedy show, and I ain't gonna lie, I approach this shit like a fucking madam. I'm like, it's gonna be nothing but bad bitches who funny as shit, and they gonna give me bad bitch photos, and I'm gonna put it on the flyer and sell tickets, and I haven't booked it yet this year, but what I love about the longevity is, I mean, the name is the name. So, and also, I need to get a venue. So, and I think I will find a good venue. I really miss my old venue. Oh my god, do I miss it. Anyways, moving on. But yeah, I have a show coming up on Friday. Yeah, Love is Trash. Where the last time I did it, I was a bucket spot. I wasn't even booked, and they ended up creating an award for me because my story was so outrageous. Yeah, they gave me the Future Award, as in the man who just dropped an album titled I Never Liked You, Future. Yeah. And as wild as that, that was like the tame version. I'm going to actually... It wasn't even the tame version. It was literally like a quarter. It was an eighth. It was a microcosm of a story that was even wilder. So, finally going to tell that part. Yeah. And then I have a show. I'm going back to Athens for the first time in 3 years. So, I'm doing an Athens show next week. So, yeah, that's my first show in 3 years. What I love about... I'm very blessed because I cannot do a show for like a month. And then once I'm ready to get back in that thing again, the bookers, it's like they sense it. They're like, hey, you want to get back on this? I'm like, yeah, I do. And then I'm hitting some mics too. But yeah, I just needed a month. It was... Well, so that show, it wasn't that it was so... It wasn't that it was bad or anything that made me wanted to take a break from comedy. It was just a moment of like, I don't know, man. It was cold and it was hella white. They were cool or whatever. It was just like, I need a break right quick. I was like, let me focus on, because it was also the playoffs. It's playoff basketball that was underway. So I was just very, it was a very intense week. And then, or it was a beginning of what was going to be an intense month, rather, because April I worked a little bit more than I wanted to. I was helping out, etc. Yeah, I was just tired a lot from doing that. And I wasn't, not only was I, if I was working like an extra day and then working a double as opposed to working a half day, so like working like two or three extra shifts, I was also, I still work out. So, you know, I just be like, whoo. So I be chilling. But, you know, things are getting back to normal schedule wise. So, yeah, let's get up in these comedy streets. Chappelle, yeah, that's the whole thing with the Chappelle, with the guy attacking, going on stage to attack Chappelle, that was wild. And then T.I. last month, he got on stage and totally disrespected, berated, and damn near assaulted a female comedian. That's all squashed down, so everybody's cool. They've since, you know, made up. So there's not much to say on that, especially it happened like a month ago. So every time I wanted to do a podcast and I want to talk about things that was happening as it was, I was tired as fuck. So, but yeah, but recently, just this past weekend, some white lady with no shoes on stormed into, someone's house because they were having a house comedy show in the backyard. She went off on everybody, and then she said, this is not a public venue, this is a fucking neighborhood. And then she slapped three comics, and one of them had video footage of him getting slapped. So, and then his girlfriend stepped in to calm that bitch down, because, you know, of course he's not gonna do anything, because I mean, the whole not hitting a woman thing. And so he was just there in shock. He just like moved on. But the girlfriend was like, yo, chill. So that was just wild. I'm tired of the simple minded people who's like, Will Smith starting a trend. It's like, no. What happened with Will Smith? Happened with Will Smith. And And I just feel like that joke wouldn't have been as, I mean, that joke wasn't funny, but it was even less funny when, because Jada Pinkett has alopecia. I think a lot of people are just, I mean, these little, Jada Pinkett with the whole entanglement shit and the red table talk hurt a lot of niggas. So, they like, she's toxic. Will Smith needs to get out of there. And it's like, bitches be toxic. You know what I'm saying? I do. What did I start my fucking show off with? You know, Mother's Day is rough sometimes, man. My mom is one of them. I mean, I've done jokes about how I said Future's male version of her. So it's like, it is what it is. So at the end of the day, shit happens. But just because someone's a celebrity does something doesn't mean people are going to follow suit. That's that. If you thinking, if people saying that, thinking that, that just says a lot about the society. That's just saying that we have minded as fuck and we can't come up with our own fucking decisions. Not come up with our own decisions. I mean, make our own choices. So I don't know, man. I'm tired of people and their hot takes. I feel like they should take their hot takes to a therapist. We all fucked up. We can't keep acting like this global pandemic in the past 2 years has not affected us mentally and psychologically and physically, maybe to some people. Like, let's fucking get our shit together. Speaking of getting our shit together, the Hawks. Okay. Very, very interesting season. It was, I want to say, borderline disappointing because they still made it to the playoffs. I'll give them that. But they tired themselves out because they were ninth, meaning they had to play twice in order to advance to be an eighth seed. So they whooped that ass against the Hornets. And Miles Bridges got in his feels. Then we played the Cavs and beat them. And that was a great comeback. Then the Heat. Oh, boy. Game 3 was in fucking incredible. Trae Young won the game with a floater, essentially. That shit was baller. Yeah, it was great. It was really, really great. Playoffs, though, fans' conduct is crazy, man. Like, the conduct there, like, they have this, they even have warnings that they flash throughout the Jumbotron to say if there's some unruly behavior, if you need to call attention to it, here's this number. Like, is this serious? And I had my own experience. This drunk white motherfucker, he tried the shit out of me. He, long story short, he was trying to question if I was, well, he was upset that I didn't want to engage with his bullshit. Like, he was trying to see what I was doing there, you know? And I don't, this doesn't happen often at all. If I'm talking to people, I'm, you know, usually I engage with people and it's never an issue. And, you know, I went to the games with some friends, but for the most part, I'm there by myself enjoying that shit like it's my personal TV. I ain't talking to nobody, really. I ain't trying to make no friends. And so this white drunk motherfucker, he just really needed someone to give him attention, even though he had like six of his friends next to him. He tried me, and then I kept telling him to stop talking to me. Like, I'm like, good, I'm good. And he's like, why don't you want to talk to me? He's like, I'm trying to make sure you don't have our seat. I'm like, I'm a season ticket holder. This is my seat. He said, "Are you?" I was like, "I don't have to answer to you, bro." He said, "You know, you're right. You don't." I was like, "Man." And so his friend saw that he was agitating me. And so his friend's like, "Hey, buddy, let's swap seats." I was like, "Yeah, man. Y'all need to get your friend before I punch him in the fucking face." And I said that shit. And I meant that shit. And they swapped in. We won. And everybody's cool. Because fuck that shit. Don't be trying my ass, man. I really will fuck a motherfucker up, man. But I'd rather just say that shit so they will believe me, because I don't want to catch a fucking case. I actually don't want to punch a motherfucker in the face. I got other things to do because I'm a grown fucking woman. I am not working out just so I can punch motherfuckers in the face. Yes, I listen to a lot of, "I bet you won't hit a motherfucker, hit a motherfucker." I listen to a lot of Frazier Boy. I listen to a lot of Memphis shit, a lot of Houston shit, a lot of angry shit, a lot of all that shit, right? But I don't want to really do that shit on the realsy. I just want to be hyped by that shit. I don't actually want to get gangster with the shit because I don't want to. I just want people to believe me because I ain't trying to catch no case. I don't like losing type shit. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, you know, coaches always said, "Hey, if you're going to follow a motherfucker, follow a motherfucker. Not that ticky-tack shit." Anyway, not the point. NBA playoffs, man. Speaking of, they ain't calling them. They ain't calling no fouls. They like, "Fuck y'all niggas." Woo! They got all them niggas playing like Bill Laimbeer type shit. Ooh, speaking of, I'll talk about him later. But yeah, I had no idea that Larry Bird and Bill Laimbeer beefed for real. That shit was crazy. That was a deep dive. I didn't know I needed. I was like, what? Anyway, I'm going to talk about that later, like I said. But yeah, them fouls, man, they and them calls and them flagrants. I mean, Dylan, is it Dylan Brooks? Yes. That foul he did on Gary Payton Jr. or Gary Payton II. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they playing ball, man. They out there playing ball, man. The Miami Heat, god damn, man. The Hawks could not handle the Heat. That defense was insane. That defense was wild. Game 3 was all the Hawks had because Game 4 was a shit show. And then Game 5, they lost by 3. But shout out to DeAndre Hunter because he had 35 and then he fouled out. So it's just, this was a very, it was pretty lackluster. It wasn't disappointing, but it was a very lackluster season. They really got it. So the stat that I learned, because there was 2 stats that were connected. So what was that game? Was it game 3? No, not game 3. It was game 4 when they got their ass whooped. The Hawks had 0 transition points. They had 0 fast break points. They rely solely on the 3 ball and ISO ball. And alley-oops. That's our offense. Like, we set shit up, but we don't create offenses that will fuck up a goddamn good defensive team. I don't understand how, like, they beat the Heat in January, which was the last time they played the Heat in State Farm Arena. They also beat the Suns, whose coach, shout out to Monty Williams, he won Coach of the Year today. That coach had his team do a full court press when they were down by 8 points, and it was like literally 1 minute left. I'm like, what? They won that game. So I don't understand playoffs, how they just did not show up against a defensive team. I guess, I mean, January was a long time ago. That's really all I can say. Things different after the All-Star break. It's always different. Teams change. I mean, the Bulls, they fucking froze. I mean, as much as I love watching DeMar this season, he did not really show. He showed up. One game, he had like, what, 42 points, some shit? But then, yeah. But it wasn't just on him. It was really Zach LaVine who was froze up. But I don't think it's fair to say that because he's literally just a, he's 26 years old and that was his very first playoff experience. So I feel like the Bulls will come back for sure. But yeah, fans getting too rowdy, like that Mavericks fan who was pushing on Chris Paul's wife. Chris Paul's like, hey, I'm going to see you later. That shit's whack. But yeah, that was fun. Playoff basketball, woo. Those games are serious, and I lucked the fuck out. I, like, as a member, my God, our tickets were way, way cheaper. I'm talking about way cheaper than what was being sold on Ticketmaster. And not just the resales, like regular Ticketmaster tickets. When it was getting closer, them shits were about almost $200. But it was nowhere near that much for me as a member. And I am already starting my new season package. So I'm definitely going to be there next season. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to the draft party. That's something I'm looking forward to. So that's going to be fun. But it looks like I'm going to have to take a break soon. But before that, I want to do a PSA. So people, especially if you're athletic, if you are here doing, I'm not gonna talk about that. I'm gonna talk about it later, but like, ever since I started, working out again and training for races and stuff, I've been real serious about stretching. And I've always been like, oh, okay, I'm gonna stretch, but I'm like, if I'm not exercising for real, what the fuck I gotta stretch for? But I've been more strict about it and serious about it, and I stretch pretty much daily. I try to stretch daily. I think I'm daily, but if not, at least 5 to 6 days a week. So it was last week, it was like, I was like, yo, I need to start really, really doing yoga specifically. I need to start doing yoga more, but also I need to do these stretches specifically for my ankles and my feet because, you know, on them a lot. And also, I'm going to be jogging. I mean, I'm jogging, you know, I need to flex that shit. So I did that. I did this perfect 10-minute yoga exercise specifically for my feet. And then I did the same thing. And then I stretched it again next day. On my way to work, I'm listening to Knuckleheads. Shout out to them. And I'm listening to Vince Carter. Very, very excited about this episode. Listen, so I'm walking. I got off the train station. I'm walking down the stairs. I'm eating a banana. Mind you, I don't even trip off a banana peel, but it's just as comical and cartoonish how I fucking fell. I'm listening to Vince Carter talk about something. I don't even remember because at the moment, I'm like, dang, man, that shit, wow, I remember this. And then I'm eating a banana, and then I'm walking down the stairs all at the same time. Fucking missed a step. Landed. And because I missed a step, when I land awkwardly on my on my ankle, but it like folds forwardly. Oh, it was awful. And it sounded like I cracked my fucking ankle. The initial pain was just like, and I was like, ah, like I literally yelped land on my ankle and then also on my elbow. So owie wowie both times on asphalt. That I'm like, yo, I'm silent. I can't get up. Like, I'm literally thinking I'm, like, playing basketball. And I was like, I'm on the bench for the rest of the fucking series, man. I'm riding pine this whole series, this whole postseason, man. I can't do shit. I got to call out. I can't work. Fuck this shit. I'm about to get my black ass up and take my black ass home. Like, I was just red. That was just all in my head. Man, as soon as I got up, I was like, oh, shit. I was all right. I had like a very, very, very slight limp only because I need to elevate it really and ice it. But yeah, I just ended up working a whole double on my ankle and then walked to the train station after work and then walked home from the train station like nothing happened. And then I got home and iced it and it was fine. But yeah, I only escaped injury because I stretch. So that's my PSA, y'all stretch. Yeah, because that shit was painful, but all is good. I'm just very grateful that I didn't get injured, and I haven't jogged since, but I went to the gym today, did my normal hour and a half workout, strength training, and but yeah, I'm that person now. Gotta have all the shit. I gotta have all the first aid shit for sportsing. So I'm just gonna tape my shit up from now on when I jog, at least until it's like slightly sore. But yeah, I'm just it was very, very blessed. But I do have I learned early that I have a high tolerance for pain because I was always a boisterous kid and I was always athletic and played kickball and shit like that before I started hooping and playing volleyball and shit. And I learned that, oh, I have a high tolerance for pain. I just am going to learn how to overcome that shit and patch things up. And so that's what I did. And that carried over to the mentals. I was like, oh, I put up with a lot of shit that started physical pain, and now I'm just we good. So yeah, everybody stretch, because the tape thing. Yeah, so let me tell you the wonders of tape, especially the gauze one, like the super, super thick tape. When I was in ninth grade, I played on both the freshman team and the varsity team, and I started. And it was in a tournament for both squads, and I was playing in the freshman game first, and then right after that was the varsity game. I had sprained my ankle two nights before, and so I was like, look, this ankle brace ain't doing shit. Because I sprained my ankle in that ankle brace. And it was maybe like a year old. It's the ankle brace that has the lace-up kind. So it was actually pretty good. But I was like, yo, I need something that's even sturdier than this. So my coach said, I can start taping you before games. I said, bet. So he taped me before the freshman game. And then I was still taped up for the varsity game. I played both games full speed with a sprained ankle taped up. And I was, so the sprain, and it was a literal sprain. It wasn't like, oh, okay, I'm over it. No. Actual sprain. Like, I really, I really should not have been playing, is my point. Like, but the only reason why I was able to is because I was taped the fuck up, and the adrenaline didn't let me feel any pain, because I was just playing nonstop. So when I got home, I was like, ooh, like, that shit was a bitch. But I'll never forget that shit. That's one of the, like, the moments where I was like, yo, fucking competitive as shit, just fucking relax. But I was like, no, man, I gotta play both of these games. And I'm running on my tippy toes, so like I'm running regular on my left leg, but my right leg is on my tippy toes the whole time, both games. Yeah. So stretch and get that tape. All right, I'm going to go to a little break. All right, so I don't want to talk too much about this, but news broke about Kevin Samuels' death via Twitter, and then his mom confirmed it via NBC News. That was, what, like 3-4 days ago, around May 6th? I never agree with anything that dude said, honestly. But when I heard of his death, I definitely didn't celebrate that. That's weird shit. I wasn't like, yeah, bye, nigga. I mean, even the most evil people, you know, like when Roger Ailes, whatever, Ailes, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, when he died, Fox News, when he died, you know, like certain people, I'm just like, certain people, you're like, oh, damn. And then, it's, oh, damn. Like when Jerry Falwell, you know, like Eddie Long. I just, in my eyes, if you live disgracefully, that's how you go end up dying. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say Kevin Samuels, according to the police reports, it doesn't sound like he died with grace. Sounds like he died on top of a woman who was 30. He was 56, and the woman he collapsed on top of was 32. And she, you know, luckily she was a nurse, so she was able to extend some life. But yeah, it was too late by the time. Yeah, that was a very unfortunate situation. I mean, I hate to hear that shit. I hate to hear that you know, like Chris Farley. I mean, you know, people who die in a not so graceful manner. Yeah, that's unfortunate. And, you know, he was talking about being high value men. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with telling men to see themselves as high value. I definitely don't see it. So I guess I was wrong. I guess there is something I did agree with on that. I think that's I feel like everybody should see themselves as high value. What I don't agree with is you looking at someone else and being like, what's wrong with them, when we in the same boat. So that's the type of shit I did not understand. But I think he has a daughter. So you know, my condolences to his family for sure. But I saw the one thing I did see was from this Instagram account that I follow. It's called Loving Me After We. Yeah, because it's all therapy about, you know, post breakup and post toxic relationships, you know, like narcissist recovery type thing. That's the type of account she has. And she said that, I am not celebrating his death, but I'm glad that his influence has ended. And yeah, what a way to end it. But I ain't gonna lie, I mean, I just couldn't take it. Every time I try to watch the videos, like I've seen clips, and I'll just be like, oh, this is just terrible. It was like, listening to his videos was like reading Tariq Nasheed's tweets, and I'm just like, oh, these are rough. So, whew. I still extend a hand, you know. Because these people are hurt. It's hurt souls out there. So God bless them. I mean, I am very proud of myself. I have not been outside like that. I know I talked about how I'm doing a show come Friday about my future days, but I am very proud of myself. This is the first time where I'm not in a relationship or a situationship, or I have cut buddies or anything of the sort. This is my first time where I am not letting sex influence my decisions on how I feel about a man. So, yeah. Very proud. I guess, yeah. I don't know. I feel like if it hasn't been a year, it's not really worth mentioning that you're celibate. But I don't. It is what it is. It is worth mentioning. It's worth celebrating. Triumphs are triumphs. So, yeah. So I have been, I've been good, man. I've been good about not being in them strizzy streets. Yeah, I just haven't been outside, man. I ain't been going out dancing. I ain't going out. I just gone to the games, and I ain't going out trying to holler at nobody. I ain't done shit. And it's been awesome. I have been very pleased. I have been using that energy in the gym, so it's been lovely. Okay, so winding down, I just watched the Winning Time finale today, actually. It was really, really good. It's clear a lot of shit's fictionalized, but I'm just very pleased to see something that is about basketball that's entertaining and it's fun, but also cerebral and also very basketball specific. And I love that it's, you know, they did in a show format, we got 10 hours of it. It was really nice to see. And then it's just good to, I mean, people, I don't know. It's like the only time sports is entertaining, you know, is really through documentary, like 30 for 30, shout out to them. Shout out Bill Simmons. You know, that was a great, he came up with some great brainchilds, you know, currently with The Ringer. You know, he did Grantland, and then 30 for 30 is also something that he was, you know, a part of. That's a great thing, you know, but sometimes people want to have like some embellishments. Why the fuck not? And it really made me respect the fuck out of everything that the Lakers did, you know? Yeah, shout out to the Lakers franchise, man. You know, for real. Like, yeah. That shit crazy. Like, I ain't even realized that them niggas was in the finals every single damn year in the 80s. They were like, and Magic Johnson, like, how much of a winner he was. So, I mean, I always respected Magic Johnson, and then especially even more so respected him when I became a Penny fan, because I felt like there would be no Penny without Magic, if there was no Magic. So, yeah, and then, of course, Penny was on the Magic. It was just beautiful. But, yeah, Winning Time is really, really dope. I really, really enjoyed it. It's really good acting. Quincy Joseph's name, I think. He plays a really good job. He does a really good job with playing Magic Johnson. Dr. Solomon Hughes, he did a great job playing Kareem. Adam McKay, the fact that he and Will Ferrell aren't on speaking terms right now, because Will Ferrell wanted to be Jerry Buss and Adam chose John C. Reilly. Adam was fucking right. I can't see Will Ferrell playing him. I can see him being in another role, but I just can't. I just don't see, because I know he's a hooper. I know he loves hoops, but I just couldn't see him as Jerry Buss. John C. Reilly fucking destroyed that shit. That dude, I feel like there's going to be an Emmy somewhere in that damn show. I really do. So, big shout out to everybody involved in Winning Time. Oh, yeah. So, I mentioned earlier, yeah, Larry Bird beef with Bill Laimbeer. That shit's crazy. And it, I mean, and they still don't fuck with each other to this day. But he and Magic, they homies. They were for real homies now. You know, that's a good rivalry. But yeah, Larry Bird did not fuck with Bill Laimbeer, especially in 88 and 89. He was, yeah, they did not fuck with each other. So, whew. The Abbott Elementary finale was great. I'm glad she broke up with Zach Fox's character, even though he's a great character and he's funny as fuck. But old dude is with old girl, so old girl is waiting for old dude to break up with old girl, I guess. Nah, she got a heel. But anyways, who's old girl? Which old girl? But yeah, so Janine, yeah, she broke up with Tariq. But Greg is now with old girl, who is Barbara's daughter. So, yeah, that's a really great show. It's great. I really, really fuck with it. I really, truly do. And I'm very, very happy for Quinta Brunson. I mean, she's good. Just kudos to her. Kudos all around. So, I cannot wait for season two. And I wonder if I wonder if the Wonder Years is going to be renewed for season two. Because Fred Savage just had to get fired off that shit. This is the third time he was fired off a show. Something's up with that motherfucker. I guess his last name is also who he is. Damn, and he was directing the show. It's like, man, we got this black ass show and you directing this shit. So what's the misconduct? What the fuck you do on this black ass show? How are you being unruly? The Ozark finale, spoilers. So scroll like a minute and just fast forward a minute into the podcast, because about to do a spoiler right quick. All I'm gonna say is, you know, it would have been cool if Wendy got murked and Ruth was spared, but it is what it is. That's how it be. That's something they gotta live. It's probably even worse for Wendy that she survived, because she gotta live with that on her conscience that Ruth got murked. So, because the person that she and Marty were fucking with snitched and withheld their names because they were witnesses too, and they could have been murked too because of that fact. So, but it's so funny how throughout the show Ruth is playing all these dope ass 90s albums, when the obvious album to play for her would have been Ready to Die by Notorious B.I.G. Because she really was ready to die. She was like, before I die, I want to get all my shit squared up. Because if I do, at least three would be set up for life. So, she did the things that she was supposed to do. And she went out like a G. She said, your son was a murdering bitch. And now I see where he gets it from. Well, are you going to get on with this shit or what? That was her last words. And then the woman shot her right in the heart, because that's the one thing that kept Ruth going, literally and figuratively, her heart. All those times she was going off on motherfuckers, they fucked with her because they knew she meant that shit. And she felt everything that she said, every pain she went through. She wanted people to know that she went through that shit. So, very well acted. Honestly, that show is not good, though. I mean, it is, but it really is not. It's full of fucking shit, but it's well acted, you know? It's well acted, it's well directed. So technically, I guess that makes it a good show. But, you know, sometimes shows are like, well, I'm watching because I really love the acting. And that's really what got me into it. So, yeah. I mean, but it's definitely, even though it's not saying much, because Netflix really ain't shit, and they losing mass subscribers. But Ozark probably is their best show. I don't know. Prove me wrong, because I, you know, I would love to know what are other shows that are better than Ozark. I mean, Squid Game's good, but that shit's dark as fuck. So, closing out, things I've been listening to. Lotto's new album's pretty good. I really fuck with it. I love that. I love the fact that she, I love the song she did with Lil Wayne and Sunshine, you know, they with Lil Wayne and Childish Gambino. And I also love, I love a lot of the shit, but I love the fact that she sampled Get It Wet by Twista. She sampled that beat. That's like one of the hardest beats ever. And she sampled that shit. So, and then she, like, she rapping on that beat, and she's like, Big P, I, no, she's like, Miss P, I, M, P. I'm like Pope. It was just the things that she's really smart, you know? Like when she did a freestyle on Flex, Funkmaster Flex, she said I just got through with a meeting with L.A. Reid. This shit's getting epic. Like, you know, she just smart as shit. I love it. You want to talk about wordplay? Pusha T. Did somebody threaten his life or something? Like, they like, hey, man, if you don't fucking produce some of the best shit you ever done in two decades, and you've been going strong for two decades, we want you to go stronger. We want you to go strong, like, just grind it all over again. Or, like, Song of Abaddon Part 2. Like, we want you to go hard. We want you to go hard, like, every song is a feature on everybody else's track, and you body it. We need you to buy that shit, or we murking everybody you know. Like, he just went so hard. It's almost dry. No, nigga, this shit wet as shit. It's gonna stay wet. This shit moist. Man, that dude, I love Pusha T. Always have, always will. I mean, when he said, if I wasn't able, there was always Kane. That's when I was like, oh, well, this guy's clearly going to be great until he's 80. Like, till death, my guy. Like, he's fucking incredible. So I said to the cause, you know, maybe he's going to live to 180. I mean, shit. I mean, as smart as that motherfucker is, I think he gonna be, I pray that he lives to that long, because I fuck Pusha T. I really, truly do. And then the fact that he owns a ramen spot in D.C., like, what? I gotta go to Pusha T's spot. So, yeah. Shout out to Pusha T. He said Richard Pryor is the reason why we have pipe dreams, now we here. And then he said, kilogram Kickstarter, push a brick harder, left my elbow in the pot, a la Vince Carter. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Yeah, so shout out to that shit. Speaking of, knuckleheads, them niggas been going off too. They've been like, I guess they got threatened as well. It's like, hey man, if you gonna get that hot fire, man, we gonna kill all your peeps. Like, it's like they've been, it's been with urgency. They just been like, all right, fine. Oh, you want Rashard Lewis to talk for 2 damn hours for the first time ever in his life? I was like, wait a minute, this nigga talking. I was like, I didn't even know where this nigga from. I was like, wait a minute, what is this? I was like, this nigga sound like he from goddamn. Is this nigga a Suave House artist? Oh, he is from Houston. Okay. He's like, yeah, man, you know, I was taking him outside, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I can't do my Houston's kind of, I'm going to work on it. But anyways, yeah, Rashard Lewis, that shit was dope. And then they were like, yeah, well, we're going to bring Larry Hughes. And they're like, and that was my fa-. DeJuan Wagner, I didn't think that anything, I didn't think anything could top DeJuan Wagner, but getting Larry Hughes, yeah, that topped it. Larry Hughes is shit. 100%. Just cool. That nigga, I always loved him. I loved him since he was a goddamn Billiken, okay? That nigga had me following the Billikens. I was like, St. Louis Billikens? What the fuck is a Billiken? Nigga was going off on everybody, just slicing and dicing. Then he would go on defense after he sliced and diced your ass. I'm like, damn, this is ruthless. So, yeah, that shit was wild. And then they did Michael Finley. I was like, discovering shit. I had no idea that happened, and I saw that shit on YouTube. Thank God for that person who had the footage and uploaded that shit. It was a one-on-one game that happened between him as a Chicago senior in high school versus Michael Jordan. And it was just like a friendly game of horse. Fuck yes. And then Jordan signed him on the brand. I fuck with that shit. So yeah. Yeah. Shout out to that. And now tomorrow they're gonna release it. Got my boy Jason Terry. Fuck with the player. Fuck with the cuh. If you know, you know. So I'm going to my first concert in 3 years. I caught my tickets to go see Raven Lynae. I love that little girl. I know she a woman, but she's so tiny and she's so young. I think she just turned 22. She like she like Ja Morant's thing. Oh yeah, Ja Morant is a beast. But yes, Raven Lynae, I'm gonna see her at Vinyl. And it was actually the last concert I did go to was at Freddie Gibbs in Center Stage. And Vinyl was inside. It's three stages. Vinyl, The Loft, and Center Stage. So Vinyl is, so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Raven Lynae. And rounding out, so yeah, I was mentioning how I was training. So yeah, I signed up for the Peachtree Road Race, and I am going to do it for the first time. Yeah, I am doing it, because... So it's guaranteed entry if you join Atlanta Track Club, which is only $35 a month. I might have mentioned that before. Not $35 a month. I meant $35 for a year. Very, very good deal. So guaranteed entry. So that is how I got in there. First time ever doing it. I'm very much so looking forward to it. And the fact that it's on 4th of July, it's going to be like, 7 in the morning after that? Going to grill? Can't wait. So, and then I'm probably going to end up buying soon my bib for the half marathon, the Thanksgiving one. We shall see. I bought some new running shoes, Brooks. Yeah, that's a good-ass brand. I feel like I'm running on clouds. Oh, boy. Hey, y'all. This was great. I'm going to be hollering at y'all soon. I'm going to talk to y'all soon. I'm going to try to at least. So yeah, I have a show on, so I have three shows so far booked. I'm sure there'll be more to come, but yeah, right now the 13th, which is this Friday, Love is Trash at Joystick Game Bar, 8:30. Then I'm going to be in Athens, that's on Wednesday, next Wednesday. Then at the end of this month, on the 27th, I am going to be at Cabbage Town, Milltown Arms. It's going to be a comedy show there, and it's free. So, and it's always a great time. So, in the meantime, I'll be hollering at y'all. Y'all have a great, great time. I'm like, there's not really major holidays, right? During this month, there's Memorial Day. But we really want to be wishing people happy Memorial Day, right? Anyways, y'all have fun. Y'all have a great weekend. Y'all have fun in life. Life is for living, okay? Peace.